I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You know what time it is?
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. The Aggies look to right the ship as they welcome UNLV to Logan for a Mountain West Conference showdown. Your home for all the play-by-play action is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. This is Unrivaled, presented by G2G Bar on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, brought to you by G2G Bars. Sam Farnsworth stepping in for a proud papa, Scott Mitchell, whose daughter is walking down the aisle right now as we speak. So congrats to the Mitchell family. And Scott was super excited about his daughter getting married. And he basically turned into Steve Martin over the last few days. Yeah. Father of the bride. Awesome. So he promised to save me some cake.
Did he dye his hair?
No, I don't think he... No. You know, Scott doesn't need to.
He's driving around in a car. You know Scott doesn't have... pulls up next to
Yes. You know what Scott doesn't have a problem with? Full head of hair and basically no gray hair.
Yeah.
So... still has the quarterback hair, man, that he used to have back in the day. Joining us right now on the program, Ben Anderson, host of Jake and Ben, of course, every day 10 to noon right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, and also our Jazz Insider for KSLSports.com. Ben, what's going on, man?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Fantastic. I'm going to ask you right off the top about Ime Udoka first, because we're just watching kind of some reports as it's been trickling across the TV screen over the past few days and the year-long suspension. Speculating about what was going on, fine, whatever, it doesn't matter because he's taking his medicine and he's just going, yep, I'm taking the suspension and I'm not going to say anything else about it and moving right on. From a basketball perspective, like, this obliterates the Celtics, doesn't it? Like, what happens now with this organization who were the Eastern Conference champs last year?
Yeah, it's crazy to look at their summer after they should have had so much potential and so much momentum that the first kind of major rumor that came out was that they were looking to trade Jaylen Brown, who's their second best player, for Kevin Durant, and then that fell apart, which was already going to rattle some cages. And then Robert Williams, who a lot of people had as the favorite to win Defensive Player of the Year this year and was so critical to their run last season, had knee surgery. They originally said maybe 4 weeks. Today it came out it could be as much as 12. So that's a huge drop back for them. And then, yes, of course, right before the season starts, not only do they lose their head coach, but their lead assistant, who was capable of stepping in to be a head coach, Will Hardy, is now in Utah. So, I mean, no shortage of an absolute disaster wow. in Boston, which, yeah, is wild. I mean, they should have been the top team in the East for the next 3 or 4 years.
I just think about it. I go, this is, I mean, the storyline itself, everybody's still scratching their heads over it. And you know, obviously, when the details kind of come out, how sorted those things are going to be, because it's already getting pretty wild and salacious. But, I mean, this is definitely not what the Celtics needed. It's definitely not what the image of what the NBA needed, for sure.
No, this is not a good look for the NBA, especially as it's tried to, you know, promote including women and making it easier for women to work and succeed in the league. This is, you know, more than Ime Udoka's career, which, you know, he undid his own career, it's going to hurt a lot of the women in that organization. And it unfortunately will make people second guess having women in their organization through no fault of their own. And it's also a reminder, you know, if you look around the NBA, and the Jazz got a taste of this own medicine, not with drama off the floor by any means, but just how quickly things fall apart in the league. And, you know, you look at what the Jazz acquired this offseason and all these future unprotected picks, and everyone's saying, well, you know, Cleveland's going to be good until X amount of years because they have this player, or Minnesota's going to be good for X amount of years because they have this player. It's just a constant soap opera now. Yeah. You know, the Jazz were the best team in the NBA 14 months ago, and they have 14 new players on their roster with media day on Monday already since the season ended. So it's just, it is always rapidly changing. Enjoy what you have while you have it, because it just doesn't last very long in the league anymore.
Ben, you published the article about Boyan yesterday on KSLSports.com, talking about how it's the worst value of the Jazz this summer, trade value. And you look at the Jazz, this is the first time, I think, ever that the Jazz have been in complete rehaul, rebuild mode in franchise history, right? Four starters traded in one offseason. You look at the starting lineup right now, you look at the roster right now, how easy or difficult, who would be the starting five if opening day were this weekend? I can't even pinpoint it at this point.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that earlier today, so I'm glad you asked this question. I was going to put it out on Twitter, and it's probably worth a discussion. Some of it depends on what the Jazz are exactly trying to accomplish, because you definitely want to carve out roles for the young guys on the roster. But at the same point, you can't, you know, you're not just going to sit a bunch of the veterans, and they still have a lot of veterans on this team. So, you know, my traditional default would probably say Mike Conley at the point guard, Colin Sexton at the two, Malik Beasley at the three, Lauri Markkanen at the four, and Kelly Olynyk at the five. That would be my guess, but you could also go with Talen Horton-Tucker in the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. You could put Simone Fontecchio out there. You could put Jared Vanderbilt out there. There's just, you know, there is no shortage of players that the Jazz are going to want to see the floor. I mean, you could start Ochai Agbaji if you wanted to at the three after acquiring him in the Donovan Mitchell trade. So there's a lot of malleability on this roster, which will be fun, but it probably doesn't make Will Hardy's job very easy balancing those egos.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Does it help if, I mean, it seems like a no-brainer, but it also seems like a wild scenario that Mike Conley, out of everybody, would be the one who sticks around. But his name being on the roster through this season, is that a pretty likely scenario that Mike Conley would stick around for the whole year?
Maybe not the whole year, but again, you got to find somebody who can step in and wants to acquire him. Now, I do think the narrative on Mike Conley is weird because, yes, he had a terrible playoff series. Don't get me wrong. But so many Jazz players had a terrible playoff series. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he was really good last season. He was very efficient shooting the ball. He's still pretty reliable. He plays most games. So I bet you he comes in, and just because he is such a good player still, his numbers are going to climb this season. I won't be surprised if he's averaging, you know, 16 points and 6 assists and 4 rebounds in, you know, 30 minutes a game if the Jazz are letting him play that much. And if so, you know, look at all the attention John Wall's getting right now with the Clippers because he wrote an article saying he's back. Well, we don't know if he's actually back. He just said he was. Here's the thing. Mike Conley is actually he's not back. He didn't go anywhere.
Right.
So he might still be good and might still have value for teams around the league. So I would not write off Mike Conley, despite the fact that clearly he's not at his peak. I won't be surprised if he bounces back this year and becomes a valuable trade piece.
I think there's something to be said about keeping a veteran presence in the locker room, too, especially in an atmosphere where it's obvious a team is not trying to contend that strongly this next season. They are trying to rebuild. But at the same time, Ben, what goes through the mind of a Mike Conley, of a Kelly Olynyk, who's got 10 years NBA experience, who's coming to Utah knowing that we're not coming to compete right away? What goes through the minds of these guys? How do you keep guys like that, I guess, motivated and positive during the beginning of a complete rebuild?
probably frustrating for Mike because, you know, traditionally Memphis was pretty competitive. And the years when they weren't, it's because he got hurt. And then, of course, with the Jazz, he's made the playoff each of the last three seasons and has had really high expectations. So that will be a significant change for him. And I think the Jazz will, again, explore trades to get him on a team that's competing for the postseason. Mm-hmm. But whether they can do that or not, you know, remains to be seen. So the good news is Mike is such a pro. You know, he probably is going to be okay embracing the role of just teaching guys how to get through an 82-game NBA season, what it means to travel, what it means to take care of your body, what it means to take care of your money. All of those types of things he will show players on this roster how to do. Kelly Olynyk I'm a little less concerned about because his last two teams were the Rockets and the Pistons, and they've been atrocious. So he's not exactly new to this experience of being a mercenary on a bad basketball team. That's probably who he is. And like Conley, you know, if he can get his numbers back up to where they were for about a quarter of the season a few years ago when he was in Houston, when they were 19 points and 8 rebounds and 4 assists, which are pretty stellar, he could still be a good trade piece as an expiring contract as well.
I think about how wild it was that summer when Mike Conley and Bojan Bogdanović were added to the team.
And no kidding.
We were so jacked up about it. I mean, they were introduced at Summer League down there in Vegas, and we were at that press conference, and it was just like a moment where you're like, oh my goodness, this team could be doing it, man. They're turning a corner here. And then to be at this point, like Sam was talking about, how we're just not, I don't think Jazz fans have been used to the idea of this. And so timeline-wise, obviously, I think Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck coming out and saying just straight up, I think it was great that they had a press conference and talked about, here's kind of what we're trying to do. We're trying to get to this spot here. What is the timeline really look like in the 2022 era of the NBA? Because it feels like the expectation is to make a turnaround a lot quicker than maybe you used to have to do in the NBA.
Yeah, some of that may honestly depend on how well Colin Sexton and Lauri Markkanen and some of these younger players on the Jazz roster fit in. You know, if you feel like, hey, well, those two guys are, you know, starting two of your starting five, and let's say, you know, Walker Kessler or somebody really, you know, steps up and is a player, or Ochai Agbaji or Talen Horton-Tucker or whoever, you know, any of these other names that we've talked about are young within the Jazz timeline, meaning they're 26 years, 25 years old or younger, and still have some team control. If those guys start to play well, you know, you do have all these draft assets all of a sudden that you could go out and acquire the next player who becomes available. I don't necessarily think that's the plan. I do think you want to be bad this season and probably next season because you owe your draft pick to Oklahoma City if it's not top 10 worthy. But let's say next summer or next year you say, hey, you've got four of the five starters filled out. Sexton's really good. Markkanen's really good. You've got some good defensive players at point guard and you know, at center. You're only one guy away or two guys away, and now all of a sudden you have, you know, 13 or 12 future draft picks you can use in trades. Like, maybe next summer after you get your lottery pick, or two summers from now, I should say, 2024, after you get that second top 10 lottery pick, maybe you just go all in and you say, okay, well, let's go trade for the players and start winning now. Why not do that? So that will depend on how these guys on this roster develop. But I don't necessarily think just because the Jazz have all these lottery picks or unprotected picks in the future, that means the Jazz are presenting themselves or preparing themselves to be a lottery team for the next five seasons. I would be highly surprised if that's the case.
Ben Anderson joining us here on Unrivaled as we kind of walk through what the Jazz moves are looking like before the start of training camp next week. 18 guys on the roster currently. I think that the natural look is, okay, Rudy Gay is not going to be a long-term guy on this roster, or is that wrong? Or who are the next names that we're likely going to see, you know, scrubbed from or scrapped from this old roster of the Jazz to pare it down to 15?
Yeah, 18 guaranteed contracts plus two two-way deals. So the Jazz are actually maxed out. They can't bring in anybody else on this roster during the offseason and have to trim it to 15 guys of guaranteed deals, and you can still have your two two-way guys by the time the season starts. And opening night's October 19th or whatever. You know, it's right around the corner. It's going to get here really quickly. So, honestly, I'm trying to figure out, obviously, like everyone, what are these three names going to be if the Jazz can't trade them? And I suspect a lot of these guys, if the Jazz could trade them, they would. Now, I won't be surprised if Jordan Clarkson still, you know, someone makes an offer for him, or Mike Conley or Malik Beasley. You know, those are some of the names that are out there. I'm sure Jared Vanderbilt has a ton of interest as well. But if you get to this point where you're just saying, hey, there's not a trade out there that's going to bring equal value back, that was part of the problem with the Bojan Bogdanović trade, as teams realized the Jazz were up against it to make a move there, and they weren't paying the full price to get them. maybe the Jazz determine it's better to buy out a couple of players as opposed to just trading them for nothing or getting pennies on the dollar and saying, cut the worst three guys on your roster or the three guys who don't fit the most and hold on to those pieces for the season until somebody does need them and is willing to pay a higher price. And that could be Rudy Gay, despite the fact that he makes almost a full mid-level exception this season. If they were willing to buy out, you know, Russell Westbrook for over $40 million, what's $8 million for Rudy Gay? What's $1.5 million for Saben Lee, who they just required? And I don't think they would do it, but, you know, they just signed a two-way player in Micah Potter, who if they feel like has the potential as an NBA center, are we sure Udoka Azubuike starts the season on this roster? Like, well, they've got another rookie center. They've got Kelly Olynyk. Maybe Udoka, since he can't stay healthy, is the odd man out.
Ben Anderson, you can hear him, Jake and Ben, of course, every Monday through Friday, 10 to noon. You can also just go over to the KSLSports.com website, read Ben's byline there, but also right there at the bottom of the page or at the podcast section there, you'll see Ben and Jake, they're pretty mugs right there. Just click on there and just download the podcast wherever you get your podcast. You can also subscribe there. Ben, thanks for hanging out, man.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good weekend. Ben. There you go. All right. Let's get out to the break here. Hey, the Davis Vision Fall LASIK sale is going on right now. Get rid of your contacts and glasses and save $1,000 right now. Save $1,000 off of a LASIK procedure with Davis Vision. They offer also routine eye exams and a full-service optical center with prescription glasses, frames, contacts, full line of sunglasses as well. DavisVisionMD.com. DavisVisionMD.com. Guess what's up next, Sam?
Hey, we saw – I know what's up next.
Oh, yeah.
We saw a headline scroll across the bottom of ESPN we're going to have to talk about.
Yes. Yep. We were just talking about the Morgan Scalley situation and how we'll just, nationally
– tease that one there.
Just Utah football, but the state of Utah and dealing with issues that are along these same lines when it comes to racial sensitivity, things like that, and right on cue – an ESPN headline that was on their crawl as part of their top stories. My heavens, the way that it comes across is not good. But we'll talk about that and much more. We also have What Are the Odds right on the corner next. Stay with us. Unravel continues, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.